want to say welcome to Black Techies. That is Cashley. I am Greg. Welcome back for, I think this is episode 10 of Black Techies, even though this is technically like Sports Desk. We're going to make this Black Techies this week because it's just
us. Okay.
I want to do that because this actually somewhat involves tech. I'm going to try to like circle back at the end towards why it involves tech. Cashley is going to, because I'm very frustrated about this entire fucking week. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania happened, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Not only did it happen, it came and went, and my excitement started to dwindle the more wrestling I watched. And I have a problem with male wrestling fans of social media, Facebook specifically. Mm-hmm. I've left many Facebook groups because of the behavior, mm-hmm. not just to women, but just like in general, like how they speak. They kind of like have their own little like groups and like silos where they talk shit about other people. So I'm not really a fan of that. But one thing that we can all agree on is like when you are a fan of wrestling, you don't like being disappointed knowing the expectation like or the bar wasn't that fucking high to begin with. So compared to last year, it's like, oh yeah, WrestleMania last year was like amazing. So it's like this year they have less of a roster, so it shouldn't be that bad, right? But before I get into the full details, I just want to say this, and Cashley, you can take this over. Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of wrestling this weekend. I made sure, like, when you sent messages, like, I'm looking at people's, like, TikToks about WrestleCon. I'm looking at the events that you had posted. I went on IPTV. I'm looking at, like, pay-per-view events for wrestling. I watched NXT. Mm-hmm. I'm watching all this stuff, and then just... It's almost like you had a piece of cake and then like you accidentally tripped on something and just fell on the floor. That's how I felt by the end of this weekend. Like when you take that first bite of the cake, you're like, damn, that's so good. Like, yeah. I can't wait to get to my seat. And then it falls. And then you go back and it's like, hey, that was the last piece of cake. And you're like, oh, fuck. I can't pick it up now. The 3-second rule don't count. Mm-hmm. So, but Cash, like, let's, I guess, start from your vantage point. Let me know how you felt. And let's go.
I mean, let me start off by saying that when Monday hit, I was like, wow, it is Mania week. And instantly, I just started to think back to what I'm normally doing, which is getting ready to head to Mania. I'm probably flying in Wednesday at the earliest. Just getting settled, probably looking around, walking around, whatever. Thursday is when the WrestleCon festivities start. And I think it's important to really highlight stuff like that because it really makes the Mania week more interesting. Because if you're one of those that are going solely for WWE stuff, like you may be just a casual fan or whatever, but if you're like the hardcore wrestling fan, you know not to go just for WWE stuff anymore. You know that's like, yeah, that's going to be like the main event of the whole week or whatever. But you know there's a whole gang of stuff that you're going to be doing that has nothing to do with WWE at all. So I think that was the best part about the week because I knew it was so many wrestling events that was not WWE related that was going to be going on. And that's pretty much what I did. The only part that was kind of bad about it was that it was on West Coast time. So a lot of those events are starting at like 11, 12 o'clock at night. So
yep.
Yeah, so that was like the only bad part, but it was cool. Because there's streaming services. A lot of people are hit to streaming services. So shout out to all the indie promotions that are streaming that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, especially WrestleCon, they had it on streaming on Hotspot. So that was cool. But yeah, then you get to Mania Day 1, which was, I guess before back, you have your SmackDown, and then you have the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame,
that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to like just ask, like, how did you feel about not the Hall of Fame itself, but the presentation of it, like being immediately after? Like, usually what they do, I think they used to do it on Saturday, but then it became a 2-day thing.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it was because it was on the West Coast, but then I'm thinking, like, okay, if this stuff is on the West Coast, that means it should have been earlier, right?
I would have thought so.
Yeah, I'm like, why didn't you just do the Hall of Fame before, or even like pre-tape it? Or I know this is gonna sound crazy,
right?
Do it on a Thursday night, like do the Hall of Fame on a Thursday. That way you can, you know, showcase it on Friday at SmackDown, like little clips of it, and then do the replay Friday night after SmackDown. Which, again, and that's just in my, you know, head. That's my first impression. But like, what was your takeaway from it?
My takeaway is that, number one, I agree with what you're saying. They should have had it on a different day. It shouldn't have been directly after SmackDown, because SmackDown actually tended to drag out a little bit. It wasn't all that interesting either, which is unfortunate, because that SmackDown before Mania and the Raw after Mania really do help set the tone for the weekend. But it wasn't all that good. For Hall of Fame, as time goes on, it's like the inductees tend to be much more long-winded. It's like, can you cut your short? Can you cut your speech a little short? Like, and we were, honestly, no disrespect, I think everybody was there to see, I would say a lot of people were there for Great Muta, because he's a legend too. But for the most part, a lot of people wanted to get to Rey Mysterio's induction, right? And shout out to Conan. He did a really great job inducting Rey Mysterio. He really did. Yeah, and I think it was exciting to see Rey go in, because I think if you're a wrestling fan, you remember him from WCW. Like, he's been in the game for such a long time. But even after a while, Rey got kind of long-winded too. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to catch you a little later because I'm getting sleepy. And just should have been on a different day, taped a little earlier. Everybody's long-winded. So, those are my thoughts on it.
My only thought, everything I agree with, the only thing I'll say is they're running out of people to induct in Hall of Fame. And when I say that they are, it's because we went from having like 6-7 people getting inducted in 1 year. And I think that was already too much, because they went from being top loaded to be like, all right, we're scraping the bottom of the pan here. And there are a lot of people we know won't ever get inducted for whatever the case may be. But we need to start, honestly, I hate to be that person, like building those relationships again with those people who they've scorned. Because it's not saying they'll ever come back. Like, I think DDP is in the Hall of Fame, right? I want to say he is.
He is.
So, like, you know, but even with that, like, think about how far along it took him to be into the Hall of Fame, right? And then, like, Ray, now they're moving on to, like, just people. So, next year, I think Cena's, like, eligible. So,
think about, Batista.
Like, Batista, like, but, you know, they'll put, well, hopefully they're not crazy enough to put them in the same year. I'm trying to think of what Philly person, because for WrestleMania next year, excuse me, being in Philly, there has to be one person from Philly that goes into the Hall of Fame, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, maybe if somebody from ECW, perhaps, because, you know, ECW, that's Philly, so.
Yeah. Well, Paul Heyman, like,
Paul
I don't know Heyman, if Paul is in it, like, he should just headline it. Like, I understand he's still doing the Bloodline stuff, but him right there, like, I could imagine, it could be him and two other people, and I would be completely fine with that, because I know we have to stretch this every year. And the way that the WWE has worked over the past 7-8 years, a lot of those people are not getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. The Miz has 5 years until he gets into the Hall of Fame, if that. So unless we're going to start, you know, retracting some shit and say, hey, we're going to put Benoit in, we're going to, you know, reinduct this person and stuff, but it's not going to happen. And then, I'm trying to think, like, who would it be? Like, if I had to pick for the next 3 years, it would be Batista, Cena, and then Brock Lesnar in those 3 years. Like, those would be the headline people. And then I think The Rock is in, isn't he? Is he in? I don't think he's in yet.
No, so, he's not.
And it won't be next year.
And I don't think he's officially retired either.
Now, did he say retired? Did Cena officially retire? Or is he just doing the I'm in when I want to be in?
Yeah, I don't think he has either. Yeah, I don't think he has either. I think he's doing what The Rock started to do when mm-hmm. Cena started calling him part-time. Cena's part-time now.
Well, all I'll say is this. The Hall of Fame, I don't mind the 30, 45-minute speeches if it's going to be three, maybe four people. I'm cool with that.
Right.
I can live with that. The days of having six, seven people and each of them were talking for 35, 40 minutes, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Because that Hall of Fame was started like five. Yeah. And it was started like, what, five and then ended at like 8, 9 o'clock. And you're like, oh, damn, we've been here all evening. You can't do that no more, especially if you plan on doing it on a Friday. So if they're going to make it like All-Star Weekend, I would say, you know, have Hall of Fame on Thursday. Most people fly in on Thursday. Give them like something to cleanse the palate. First night you get in, just go to Hall of Fame. Then Friday you go to SmackDown and you party up a little bit. Saturday you got night one and then night two on Sunday. Like, I think that's a good sequence of things because the people who don't want to go to Hall of Fame, they are either going to fly in on Thursday or they're going to, you know, just not go. But the people who do want to go, either they're going to fly in Wednesday or they'll fly in early enough Thursday that they can put their bags down, get themselves settled, walk around, and then go into the Hall of Fame. Like, that's just my, like, theory on it. But next year, it's going to be – I'm interested to see who they're going to put in there because – The way that the E is working, like, I just, that Hall of Fame, it was a struggle. It was, I think that's where it started snowballing for me. And, you know, before jumping ahead, like, night one, just, it made me feel really good. Like, Saturday in general was just like, yo, like, everything was making the mark for me. Like, everything, I won't say what, but it was just like, all those things hit. So I kind of, like, forgot about Friday. But then when I thought about him, there were ways around this. So when you had said what you had said in the group chat, I was like, see, Friday night made sense. It makes absolute sense now, but I'll let you get to it though.
So yeah, I guess we can kick it off with night one. I think night one, like you said, was going to be special because that's, you know, that's the kickoff to everything. And I think ultimately can set the tone for both nights. But getting started with night one cards, we can start with the United States Championship, John Cena versus Austin Theory. Of course, Austin Theory did win this match and retain his title. Overall, I would give this match, including the mini buildup, maybe a B+. And I give that because I think Austin Theory really stepped up in the ring when it came to John Cena. John Cena was very rusty. You could tell he was a little winded a little bit. So Austin Theory did have to make him look good. And you know, that's very important in wrestling. You know, you make your opponent look good, especially if they're, you know, a legend like John Cena. And he is, no matter how, you know, we may talk about him quite a bit, but he's, you know, set his spot in the business as a legend. So I gave it a B+. How about you?
Yeah, I was going to say about the same. Like, I was still really entertained by the match. A lot of people that weren't, I don't see why. I just feel like there was a little bit more hate for Austin Theory than I thought. Like, I thought I hated Austin Theory, but then, like, he grew on me over time. Like, I don't mind him as much as I did before. But seeing what he did... Oh, go ahead.
No, I think... And I felt the same. I think what we didn't like was that he was a Vince guy. The fact that Vince was pushing him so... that's what we didn't like. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm going to go with the B+ as well. I don't really have a thought process on it. Only thing I thought was funny, though, was the, you know, people saying, oh, Cena's bald. I'm like, he's almost fucking, is he fit? I think he is almost like 50. Like,
he's on his way there, yeah.
Like, you know, your faves, like Shawn Michaels, you know, even when it came to Triple H, when they balded, they had hair on Monday night, and then on Friday, they were bald. You're like, wait, what? So... the Cena thing is just a transition. I'm not ready for a bald Cena. I can definitely say that. But
yeah,
I mean, all of our faves, they have that comeback match and they look rusty. Look at Angle. Look at Goldberg, for example. One of my favorites. I'm like, whew. Sting. Like, a lot of my faves, when they came back for that one-off match, it's like, I understand why. When we think, like, with Edge, when you look at Edge, you're like, dang, like, I remember that that Falls Count Anywhere match at Main. What was that? Like, what was it, what, 3 years ago? That was, like, during the pandemic, his first match back. Yeah. And we're like, what the fuck is, like, what the fuck is this? Like, why is Edge getting beat on like this? This is, like, get off of him, right? But then, like, looking at it now, it's like, okay, they just need some time. Like, Cena has a lot going on, and he still managed to pull off Mania. Something Dwayne Johnson can't say he did. So, again, B+.
Yeah. So, the next match, we have the Fatal 4-Way. So, with Braun Strowman and Ricochet versus the Street Profits versus Alpha Academy versus the Viking Raiders. And, of course, the Street Profits pulled out this win. Now, initially when I saw this, this was one of those matches I felt like could have been on SmackDown. I really didn't see the need to have this on the main Mania card. But I got to say that the Street Profits shined all throughout this match. And that's pretty big considering, you know, Braun Strowman and Ricochet was also in it as well. But, you know, the Street Profits there. They are so good, especially Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins. You know Dawkins with the, with the side stuff on Braun Strowman on the outside. So they definitely shined on this one. I give this match also a B+ for the simple fact I felt like it could have been on SmackDown for that very reason. So, I give this one also a B+.
This one I skipped. I'm not going to lie. I actually was coming back from getting food, and I was like, I'll catch the replay, and then I wanted to watch the replay. I was like, nope, I already know. So it's just like, I'm okay. So no grade for me.
Okay. So next up, we have Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul. And, of course, Seth Rollins did pull off the win. Now, I got to say, I really don't care for Logan Paul at all. I really don't. I don't understand why the WWE keeps pushing him in our faces. I really don't. However, I enjoyed this match. I didn't really care for Logan's entrance simply because he was mimicking one of my favorite wrestlers who did the most iconic entrance at WrestleMania 12, which is one of my favorite manias. So it's like, no, you can't top Shawn Michaels in his entrance.
Exactly.
So I didn't care for that at all. However, like I said, I did enjoy this match. I love Seth's entrance. I don't know what it is. His fashion sense is growing on me a lot more. But outside of that, I think Seth did a really good job with Logan in this match. Not only did he look good in the match, but he also helped Logan look good as well.
He did.
So, you know, shout out to him for that. And I give this one another B+, simply because it's Logan Paul. I'm not going to rate him higher than that. So, but there was some really exciting spots. B+.
Yeah, I'm actually going to give this an A-. I'm giving this match an A-, only because for the first time in a very long time, I was surprised by how they used extra characters or extra people in the match. Having the mascot, that whole mascot scene, set a tone for me. Because I was like, I think I even texted, like, why the hell is there a mascot here? It just reminded me of the Mountain Dew thing, right? It's like, okay, now they have, like, mascots. Cool. But to tie it into the match, like, that... The only other person I've seen being able to like turn something like that into a moment, like a Mania moment, was Shane jumping off the top rope onto the table and stuff. Like it gave me remnants of that. And you know, even though I don't really like how Logan Paul came out, it seems like he likes to mimic a lot of people when he like does his intros, and I'm just not really a fan of that. That's why it gets an A- and not the A. But everything else was I was really entertained because when we talked about it on the sports desk, I said this might be one of the matches I skipped because I didn't really care for Logan Paul. And I just felt like Seth was going to win. But after watching it, like, it has replay value. So
yeah,
I have to give it an A minus. It was just really good.
Okay, and next up, we have another tag team match. So we have Becky Lynch and Lita and Trish Stratus versus Damage Control, Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky. Where do I start with this one?
Oh,
yeah, this is another one I felt like either should have been on SmackDown or they should have never had Trish Stratus added to this. I never saw why they chose to add her. I think what this match ultimately also did was further bury Damage Control, especially Bayley.
Yep.
Which is very unfortunate. But of course, Becky Lynch, Lita, and Trish Stratus did pull out that win. Yeah, I didn't enjoy this one at all. Trish Stratus.
Nope.
I think out of the three of them, she looked the slowest. Like she had the most ring rust. Lita, like she had a little bit more movement to her, but overall, I didn't see the point in it. Since Becky and Lita were the tag team champions, it should have just have been that on the line and left it at that. So overall, I give this match a C minus. I didn't care for it at all.
Yeah, I'm going to give it the same grade. I won't call this the piss break match because there are some of those, but this was definitely a merch break. This is one of those, hey, I got to get that shirt before they sell out. Like, I'm not going to stand in the concession line, but I will go get my shirt real quick. Like, that's and I don't want to be disrespectful because, you know, they always had that stigma of, oh, yeah, they always say the Divas matches or the women's matches are piss break. Like, no, let's call it a merch break. Like, you can quickly go and get a shirt, you know, give them your PayPal thing or whatever and get back to your seat. But that piss break, and you got to stand that line. Nope.
Right.
Merch break.
Yeah.
I might have just invented something. Yeah. Merch break. Mm-hmm. That's merch
break. Merch break. Yep.
C minus.
Yeah. So next up, we have Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio. I think this one was good for the simple fact that it had a very long buildup. Like, there was an actual storyline to this. And of course, as we know, it started maybe about technically a year or two ago. So Dominic and Ray were father and son tag team. And then ultimately at Clash at the Castle, Dominic turned on him and Edge and joined Judgment Day where he is now. So it really gave Dominic the opportunity to stand out on his own. I still laugh at Prison Dom. I laugh at him with a teardrop. That's funny to me. But he's really coming to his own, and that's awesome.
You notice they couldn't even keep it consistent because he didn't have the fucking teardrop for the match. Like, they made sure, like, if anybody wants to look at it, please, like, feel free.
Yeah.
But they made sure to every camera angle on the left side of his face, they made sure to not show it because they didn't want you to see that he didn't have the teardrop. And I think the reason for that is the one match he would probably have with his father. Like, you don't want to have a fucking teardrop that, you know, one, don't exist, and two, it's just like, like, anything can be said later on, like, oh, you know what, he actually did get arrested for something, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, so I thought that was still kind of corny. I'll let you give your grade before I give mine, though, because this one was a difficult grade for me.
Well, I gotta say, shout out to Rey Mysterio and his entrance, because that was fire. Totally.
Yep.
Coming out with Snoop Dogg and the Low Rider. You come out to nothing but a G thing, and then you transition it to Viva La Raza with, you know, and kudos to Eddie. And then, you know, you come out to, you know, your 619 theme. That was crazy. And that's one of the best parts about Mania, is seeing what kind of interests the performers are going to come out to, you know, and Ray did not disappoint.
In fact,
I think Ray, at this stage in his career, you're not going to get the old Ray in the ring because he's a lot older. I think you tell he's slowing down a little bit. But I think in this, he did allow his son to kind of get over a little bit. So that was always good. But of course, Ray did pull out the win. So I give this one, I give this one a B minus. I wasn't too mad at it, you know, because it was a buildup. I know why this match was here. You know, it wasn't something they just threw together. This was something that was been in the works. So I give it a B minus.
Yeah. I wanted a stipulation to this match. I know that's going to sound crazy, but I'm like, it all made sense to me, the match, but what would have made me feel better is if this would have been like a retirement match, like, or like a you can't wrestle anymore match. Whoever wins this, you can't wrestle anymore. And my personal opinion, it gives Dom a break because I don't think Dom can feud with anybody after this. Like, I think he's going to be a glorified valet who occasionally wrestles. Excuse me. But with Ray, I definitely feel like if this match had a stipulation, you'd be like, okay, great. He's going to retire. Like, Hall of Fame, he's in a retirement match with his son. It would have been a perfect send-off. But then when he wins, you're like, oh, shit. Like, Dom has to go? Like, it just made more sense to me. But grade, C+. I can't give out all my Bs. So definitely a C+.
And I think, you know, another thing that happened over the weekend, you know, he resurrected the, you know, the Latino World Order. Now, for all, you know, the old school wrestling heads, you know, there was the NWO, and then there were like a bunch of like sub factions, and one of them was the Latino World Order. So, shout out to Ray for resurrecting that. That was something good to see. Hadn't seen that one in like what, at least 30 years, maybe. So, yeah, shout out to them. That was a good thing. The next match, we have the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Champion Charlotte Flair defending her title versus the Royal Rumble winner, Rhea Ripley. Of course, Rhea Ripley came out on top and is now the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Listen, this match was A1, okay? And I know there was a lot of talk on whether or not this one should have main evented. And after seeing what they put on, I wouldn't have been mad if it did. I mean, this was a main event worthy match, and they did such a great job. Wow. Like, I really don't know where to start. That's how good this match was. And I think this was one of the matches that helped save night one, because there was just some matches that I just didn't care for. So, just off of emotion and how they worked well together. Because I've always thought that Charlotte is as good as who she's working with. And of course, we have matches with her and say a Ronda Rousey that weren't really as good. But you may have matches with her and say a Bayley, which were awesome. I think her match with Rhea Ripley is awesome. Like, Rhea really brought a lot out of Charlotte. And it was awesome to see this match, especially the way it ended. I think it was really good. I give this match an A+. Like I said, it was one of the matches of the night for me. So A+ for the ladies. What about you, Greg?
Sorry, my phone froze in the midst of me trying to respond. But this match, God, damn, you have to convince me of the grade that I want to give it. Mm-hmm. This may be a convincing grade match. So, the only reason I want to give it this grade now is because it should have been the main event.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a B.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a B. And here's a couple reasons why. One, Charlotte's behavior the entire Mania weekend the going on podcast and stuff, and I know that has nothing to do with the actual match, but mm-hmm. her insistence on making it the main event made me not want it to be the main event. Then, when I look at, and I don't want to jump ahead, when I look at another match that happened for night two, I'm like, that could have been the main event. So what makes your match mm-hmm. better? So, again, a B. Gotta be a B.
Okay. So next up, we have we have Pat McAfee versus The Miz. listen, I like Pat McAfee. I think he's very high energy. I enjoy him on commentary. I'm still not sure about how I feel about him in the ring. There was one particular spot where he did a moonsault off the top rope. And he barely missed all of the Miz. Like he took so much of the bump himself. It was like, nah, you need to practice that a little bit more before you do it. I understand it's Mania. I get it. Whatever. But another highlight, he had 49ers George Kittle come out and, you know, get him involved in the match. But I think this is one of those, for me, this might have been my merch break. Or the bathroom break, to be honest.
Oh wow!
I give it a C.
I didn't need the match. It should never happen.
Yeah.
F.
You said F.
F.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry, just F. Just no long messaging, just F.
Yeah. So next up, we have the main event for night one. The Undisputed Tag Team Championship on the line with 699 days. The Usos had their title reign. And they faced against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I think kind of going back to the Charlotte and Rhea Ripley match for a split second and why that could have or could not have been a main eventer. The Bloodline storyline is arguably the best storyline that WWE has put together or probably ever will put together, let's be honest. I don't know who came up with it, who wrote it. Kudos to them, whoever did it. But this is the best storyline. So I can see why this was the main event. To continue on that storyline just for a little bit longer. And of course, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they'll pull out the win against the Usos. And of course, that was with some interference, but they were able to pull out that win. A very emotional win. So I give this match an A. I do give it an A. It was one of my favorite matches for night one.
Okay. I'm going to give it an A too for just everything that it had. Mm-hmm. Just like it felt like an A match. Like the bumps, the intros, the how you end it. Like that's how I would want night one to end. So
mm-hmm.
A for me too. Which dang, that means that the card outside of my F, because I don't think that like match even mattered. Mm-hmm. We have an average grade of this being a B plus.
Yeah.
So night two, night one, you better come with it. You better come with it.
Right. So with that said, we can go on to night two. Kicking off night two is Brock Lesnar versus Omos. I think if you go into it knowing what this is, you didn't have a whole lot of expectations. I do like the buildup leading to it, but I just knew it wasn't going to be nothing spectacular. I think Brock Lesnar put an F5 on Omos. That was pretty cool because that Omos is a big guy. He's at least 7'5", over 400 pounds. So that wasn't an easy feat. So, of course, Brock Lesnar pulled out that win. However, I gave it a C. It is what it is. It was a show opener. Not too bad. How about you? You on mute, Greg?
Dang, sorry. I was talking and it was muted. This match, just like the McAfee match, did not need to happen. But I'm not going to give it an F. I'm going to give it a D+.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to get a D+ because I didn't need this match. I didn't want this match.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember what happened in the match. But it happened. So let's just give it a D+. D+.
Okay. The next match is the Women's WrestleMania Showcase match. Pretty much another Fatal 4-Way. Whoever wins would get a chance at the Women's Tag Team titles. So in this one, we had Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, Natty and Shotzi, Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, and of course, Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. And with Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey pulling out this win. Yeah, this was the bathroom break. I'm not going to lie. It was the second match. This would have been the bathroom break, a very early one. I don't remember too much about this match at all, to be honest. So I don't even know if I could even accurately grade it because I don't remember anything from this match. So, yeah,
it was bad.
I got nothing.
It was bad. If I had to give it a grade, no, never mind. D+.
Mm-hmm.
Another D+. Yep, that's the grade.
Okay. The next match, the triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship. Listen, this was an awesome match on night two. Very awesome match. Shout out to Drew McIntyre, Gunther, and Sheamus. Of course, Gunther did retain the title. I give this match an A+. I've seen these gentlemen in the ring before with Gunther and Sheamus at Clash of the Castle, which was another great one. With Drew McIntyre in the mix, it really was a great match. Very hard hitting, yet it was still very exciting. The crowd was so into this match, and that made it even better. So I gave it an A+. Gunther, he's going to be somebody special. Like when he really works his way up past Intercontinental Champion status, he's going to be a problem for somebody. So definitely A+. What about you, Greg?
I'm going to say this could have been night one's main event. It truthfully could have.
Wow.
If they believed in the Intercontinental, yeah, if this could have been night one's, I would have been more satisfied with it. And the reason why I say that is because it was a really, really good match. Like, I think A+ is still not a good enough grade for it. Like, I would like to see a match again like that with the three of them with the stipulate like some type of like Hell in a Cell or something like ladder match like that. It's one out of the three matches out of the entire weekend. I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I already had high expectations and they exceeded them. So yeah, that one for me, A+.
Yeah, and definitely it was one that I was also looking forward to because the Intercontinental Championship is one of my favorite titles. Some of my favorites have held it, you know, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, the late, great Razor Ramon, he held it. The late, great Mr. Perfect, he held it. So it's really one of those titles that if you really work it, it can really help you get your name out there and set you on your path towards the main title. So shout out once again to Gunther. Moving on to the next match is the Raw Women's Championship. Bianca Belair versus Asuka. Of course, Bianca Belair pulling out the win. I gotta say, this was a really great match between the ladies. And shout out to Bianca Belair and her entrance with the Divas of Compton. That was such an emotional, for the culture type of moment. Like, and then hearing about, you know, the young lady she was dancing with had, you know, lost her mom earlier that day. It's like, wow. And it's like, you really couldn't tell because she put on a brave face. She had a smile and she was seizing the moment. And it's like, she'll always remember that day for several reasons, but I hope that Mania moment will be at the top of her memories. Agreed. Yeah. And of course, you know, the ladies in the ring together, Bianca Belair, Asuka. I think Asuka really had her for a lot of that match. So, you know, the fact that Bianca was able to pull it out the way that she did was awesome. I give this match an A minus. And I gave it an A minus because a part of me thought, even though I wanted Bianca to retain because it would have marked a full year as champion for her, a part of me also said, okay, maybe Asuka needs to take it. Because she stepped away due to injury. She came back, rebranded herself, and I think the crowd was looking for that too, in a sense. But still happy nonetheless with Bianca retaining and with the ladies working that match. So an A minus.
Yeah, I think Asuka, like, she's one of the few like women wrestlers who she doesn't need the belt. Like, she's just that damn good, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. But what my hope is Bianca holds the title long enough for them to figure out what the women's situation is going to be when it comes to the women's division for both shows, because it's going to get worse, really. So I'm not going to dive into that too deep, but it just feels like right now that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Asuka and Bianca for the next 4 or 5 months until things get ironed out.
Yeah.
Right now it does not look good. There's going to be a lot of stipulation matches and a lot of back and forth. You won the title, I won the title. I think that maybe Asuka wins the title at Money in the Bank. That way they can't say that Bianca lost the title to the Money in the Bank winner. And then her next feud would conclude, like, you know, she'll have a match against Asuka again. And then it'll conclude at like SummerSlam or something. But I just, when I think about it, I'm like, I don't see anybody else. I just see them two in the women's division. And then Charlotte like a distant third. So
yeah.
Oh. And then there's Rhea Ripley, but
yeah, you
she doesn't count.
Yeah.
She don't count.
Well, I think on the SmackDown side, it's definitely good that Rhea has a title. Outside of Charlotte, they really haven't built up anybody else to hold the title on the SmackDown side. And with Raw, you can at least know that if Bianca were to drop it, it at least could be the Asuka. So, yeah.
So question for you. Is Chelsea Green on SmackDown or Raw?
I want to say she's on SmackDown.
Okay. That's who's next then.
Yeah.
They're propping her up. They're like, okay, we're not going to let her win Royal Rumble. We're going to put her in this title. I'm sorry, this tag match that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. They're going to give her a title shot next. It's not going to Emma. It's not going to Natalya or anybody else. Like, it's her. She's next.
Yeah. So next up, we have the Miz Snoop Dogg and Shane McMahon. Yes, Shane O'Mac made a very, very surprise return to Mania Night 2. You know, he did his feet shuffle. Then he got in the ring, did some more foot shuffle, and unfortunately hurt himself. I mean, it was so sudden. Like, he was shuffling, and then he just kind of fell. And of course, he was supposed to, you know, have something with The Miz, and they had to change it on the fly. But shout out to Snoop Dogg. He was able to adapt and step in. He did the people's elbow, dropped it on The Miz, and, you know, there's the filler match right there that, you know, could have gone a different way had they not known what to do once Shane got hurt. So, shout out to The Miz and Snoop Dogg for keeping that going. I don't know what to grade this. I mean, like, it was entertaining, right? For what it was.
This was more entertaining. It was more entertaining than the Brock Lesnar match. So I'm going to give it a C. Only reason I'm going to give it a C is because Snoop did what a lot of professional wrestlers cannot do for the WWE. Mm-hmm. Keep a match going when shit's going bad.
Yeah.
He managed to...
What was interesting about this was that a lot of people wondered, why didn't Bobby Lashley get this spot? He's the new Andre the Giant winner. Why couldn't he have been worked into this match? It could have been a Bobby Lashley versus The Miz joint. Like, I mean, it could have been something quick. It didn't have to be long, but Bobby Lashley should have been on the card somewhere in Mania. Now, of course, everybody knows that he was supposed to face Bray Wyatt. But of course, Bray had to step away. So that left Bobby in limbo. He won the Andre the Giant tournament Friday night on SmackDown. It would have been cool to see him out there, and, you know, he with a trophy, and he got a spot on the card. So
they treat Bobby like shit. They made that man every WrestleMania I've ever seen. They've had the Andre the Giant winner. If it wasn't on WrestleMania, the actual trophy was sitting in front of the announcer's table.
Right.
They made that man carry his own trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, I guess they realized it was like, oh no, this is a long ass ramp. He can't walk that far with this shit. So they made him just stand at the top. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of fucked up. Like, nobody thought about this.
Yeah.
Like, nobody. So I won't be surprised if he's a surprise roster cut or just a roster quit. He's like, you know what? Enough's enough. Like, he hit his peak. And he hasn't been the same since. So I really hope he lands.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
His feet, but it did not look good. And you could tell on his face, he's like, I want to be a part of WrestleMania, but they don't want me here.
Right.
Like, that's how it felt. So, yeah.
Right.
It sucks, man, because he came such a long way, and they put him right back where he was, which is like, not even a mid-card. Like, he's almost filled in for, I won't call the dude K-Quick, but Jesus, it's been so long since we called him that. R-Truth. That's what he feels like to me, like the replacement. He did, like, a R-Truth segment. Like, oh, well, yeah, like, he's the black guy segment. Like, he's here. I was like, oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Like, so, that just...
You know, what's interesting about Bobby Lashley, though, I think when they merged the SmackDown and a WWE championship, he was one of those that was also affected by it. Cats like him and Big E were definitely going to be affected by it because those are guys that can be title holders, that have been title holders. So now that you've taken away those, it's like, what do you want them to do now? Bobby Lashley has been pretty stagnant in mid-card, especially with his who they've been trying to get him to work with. You know, I think this one with Bray might have brought him back a little bit, but obviously that didn't happen. So, you know.
Agreed. Agreed.
So the next match, we have the Hell in a Cell match with Edge versus Finn Balor. I think the most memorable parts about this match has to be the entrances. Of course, Brood Edge, you know, he had the, you know, the mask on, came out of the fire. Yep. And then, of course, we had the demon Finn Balor. Now, I think I was hopeful for the demon Finn Balor because every time the demons come out, he's always lost. I think the last time we saw the demon, he lost to Roman Reigns, and I think that was at a SummerSlam or
SummerSlam.
I can't remember what event that was. Yeah, so they had him lose. I was very hopeful. Like, you can't have him bring back the demon and have him lose again. But that's exactly what happened because Edge won this match. I think we all have certain expectations for Hell in a Cell matches, and I think this one didn't quite live up to it. There were certain spots. It's like it's starting to drag on. I think this is one of those matches that went on too long, unfortunately. And it was a Hell in a Cell match, so you can't really cut those short. But this one went too long. I give it a low B minus, a high C. Yeah. But yeah, it didn't live up to my expectations.
I remember saying, this is either going to be in the top five best or the top five worst Hell in a Cell matches.
Yeah.
It's in the top five worst. Everything about this match was bad. Like, when I say everything, the intros were decent. When I say decent, meaning, like, they got them to the ring to hurry up and do the match. That's the extent for me. They blew it with not having Gangrel come out when they said that, you know, it was supposed to be, like, a rumor. I'm like, add something to it. Y'all want to build that bomb because, you know, we're talking, like, Hall of Fame earlier in the episode. So, yeah, like, that would have been great. Right. They blew that. Then the Hell in a Cell, it was just like the cage with the lid on it. Like, it wasn't red. It wasn't like blue. Like, they didn't even bother. It was almost like, all right, we got a Hell in a Cell match. And then I'm one of those people, like, I understand injuries and stuff like that. The cell wasn't used at all. It was almost like them wrestling in a bubble. What is the point? What is the point? They had a false count anywhere match in a cage. That's exactly what the fuck that was. So, no, just my grade for that one, I hate to give it a C, but it has to be a C. The best part about it, like you said, was the entrance. I can't remember anything in the match outside of the fact that nobody broke through the cage, nobody broke through, like, and grabbed, just a C. Just, I don't even want to think about that match anymore. It's a C.
So, last but certainly not least, we have the main event, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship champion Roman Reigns up against Cody Rhodes. Of course, we all know that Roman Reigns was able to pull out and retain the title, marking his, I think, 969th day as champion.
To them,
one of the longest reigning of WWE history. Part of one of the biggest storylines in I would say wrestling history. I think this is one of those where part of you wanted Cody to win because of him. You know his history. You know, outside of his dad, you know Cody's history. He was in the WWE, then he left, he went to AEW, pretty much was a huge component of that company, helped get it to where it is. and he decided to come back to WWE. And then along the way, he hurt his shoulder. He still had that cage match with Seth Rollins. So kind of showed his guts and his heart. Like I'm back. I want to do this no matter what. He comes back. He's the final entrant of the Royal Rumble. So I think by him winning that, coming out dead last, it was really obvious. So I think for that, for his heart and for his story, you wanted him to win. However, you just knew that Roman was going to retain and keep that bloodline storyline going a little longer. Overall, I do give this match an A-minus, though, for just sheer storytelling, the emotion in the match, even with the interferences by Solo Sikoa and you know, the Usos came out, and then Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn came out. I still give it an A minus. It was still a good match overall.
I'll do the same thing and give it an A minus. That way the overall card can get, when I say card, man, night two can get a C. I thought it was, I was looking at the average. I'm like, all right, we only had one match that had an A. Well, no, I'm sorry, two. We had the Asuka match with Bianca, that was an A minus, and then this one was an A minus. But then everything else was, for me, was like a D minus and below. And then for you, it was like C plus, and then I think you said B minus. So it's like, we really have to start like reevaluating the WrestleMania card. And I won't talk too long because I have a cough, people, so forgive me if this pauses, but I feel as though night one, and somebody's gonna think it's crazy, be a Roman-esque night. Let Roman get his shit off on Saturday so he can do Saturday Night Live and all that other stupid shit. Cool. Right? Sunday, let the women shine. Somebody's like, Ray, why do women got to go on their own night? The women have shown in the last 3 years, their matches matter more. And when I say they matter more, they have more stakes. And now with the roster being as depleted as it is, they have to start calling up NXT quickly. Which means there's going to be a lot of build. When I say a lot of build, a lot of build in the next 6 months, because their roster is, it's more depleted than the people who Nia Jax is injured in her career. It's that depleted. So, I don't want to like shit on her because I love her dearly, but when I think about how I would want WrestleMania, it would be like this year. Like when I look at the Sheamus match and stuff, right? Like Sheamus and them went out, you know, they won on Saturday, had fun with their spouses and stuff on Sunday, right? Like they're taking photos and stuff. I'm like, okay, those guys, like, let them have the night off. Like, and I'm tired of, when I say have the night off, I'm tired of seeing them on Sundays. I am. If we're going to have these two night events, I think the women should close the show. Like, the way I would have structured the card would have been, I know it's going to sound crazy, Sunday, I would have had the opening match, I would have had that be Charlotte and Rhea, just to set the tone. So people are like, shit, like, yeah, it's the opening match, but it's so fire. Like, it would have been night one's main event. Not main event, but opening match. Just to set the tone, like, oh, so there's a bar to set here. It's not the co-main event. It's the opening match. And somebody was like, well, Greg, why would you want it to open? Look at what other matches opened WrestleMania night one and night two. Now replace that with the A minuses that we gave for the matches for the women, right? Take that for what it is. Open it with a women's title match and be like, all right, cool. You got that one out the way. Then the second match for night two, I would have done the Street Profits match. That match for night two, I like that match for night two. Then give me the filler match with like Pat McAfee. Like give me the bullshit so I can go and get my popcorn and my nachos and shit. Like give me that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what, three. Match four. For Sunday, honestly, I would do Ray and Dom. Like that would be match four.
Yeah.
I could really see that being one of those, like the sun's going down now. Like let's get into some storyline shit, right? And then you still have like that. The Hell in a Cell match I would have personally put on Saturday night instead of Sunday because it had no impact whatsoever on Sunday. Like it didn't even matter. It was like usually Hell in a Cell matches matter. Now they don't anymore because there's no like they have nothing. So put that on Saturday. Give it something where it's like, okay, there's a stipulation match on a Saturday night. Cool. I've said how many matches? Four? Because I ended with Dom, right? Well, Dom and Ray, so that's four. We have to have seven matches. The fifth match, fuck. What would be a good fifth match? I would swap the Logan and Seth match. The Logan and Seth match should be Sunday as well. And the reason why is if we're putting Hell in a Cell on a Saturday, then we can put the Logan and Seth match on Sunday. So that would be that match. Let me see. excuse me. Fuck. And I already said I wanted Gunther and Sheamus and Drew. That should have been the main event on Sunday. I'm sorry, on Saturday.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Okay. So let me look at it real quick. So we have five. The Trish Stratus, Lita, and Becky Lynch match. You can keep that on. You could put that on Sunday too. Again, you have the Dom match, which is cool. You have the Pat McAfee bullshit match, cool. You have the Lita and Trish Stratus match, like a filler match because you're gonna have it be so top loaded that you're like, all right, cool. So that's five. Six for the co-main event. I would honestly. I would put Austin Theory and John Cena as the sixth match. And the reason why I would put that match is because I'm looking at the time for it. It's 11 minutes, 20 seconds. It's for a title. And it'll be the co-main event. It's like, all right, night two, like, you have that. So the main event, obviously, I would put, you know, we already had Rhea and Charlotte. But the main event would actually be Bianca Belair and Asuka. Like you can interchange it how you want, but that would be that would be night two for me for Sunday. That means Saturday's match would be Saturday's card would be for me, and this is from open to close. Again, excuse me. You would open it with I forgot Pat McAfee. Did he fight twice? Oh, he fought once. So
no, he only fought once. Brock,
So night one, you open with Brock and what's his name? I keep saying Osmos, but almost Omos. Right.
Yeah, Omos.
So you would still open with that. So that would be night one instead, right? Then match two, you would have the Ronda Shayna like that when WrestleMania showcase match, right? I'm gonna take something out and put something in. The Snoop Dogg and Miz fight, since that technically wasn't supposed to happen, I would have just had the Andre the Giant match that was supposed to happen on SmackDown. Put that there. Put that as match number three, like it's always been in WrestleMania. Put it as the filler match. So that's three. So right now we have Brock Lesnar, we have Ronda Rousey, we have the Andre the Giant thing. So that's three matches, right? So we need we need four more matches. I really loaded Sunday up too. It was so fire. Sunday's just so fire. It's like
so Saturday could be possibly Bloodline Saturday then. You can have the tag team championships and the undisputed on Saturday.
Exactly. And they would be I wouldn't do them back to back though. So we're mm-hmm. at match number three. So match number four would be the tag match, because people would be like, okay, well, you have KO and Sami Zayn. They ended up beating, you know, the Usos, right? Which means that now they got to go defend Roman. They never even showed up for that match this year, right? So, you know, talking mm-hmm. about for night two. So you have that match be number four. Match number five, I would put Edge and Finn Balor. Give it something. Like, make mm-hmm. it, like, not the co-main event, but, like, the match before the main event.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Excuse me. So, that's five. Number six, I'm going to say, I hate that I'm about to say this. The Roman Reigns match, it was 35 minutes long. 34 minutes mm-hmm. and 34 seconds. Love the match. And I know that they would never do this, but it would be a surprise to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's happened before. I want to say there was a card before was like they opened the pay-per-view with the like the main event for, and it surprised everybody. Like, wait, the title match is first? Like, I want to mm-hmm. say it was one of those like London cards or something like that. But
I think
the
so.
Co-main event, yeah, the co-main event would be Roman and Cody, and the reason for that would be, that's where you get that pop. Mm-hmm. That's where you get like The Rock coming out, or you get some type of like WrestleMania moment that is surprising people. They don't historically, they've never done like the main event with this big like surprise. It's always the co-main event, right? So there's that. Leading into the main event, which again, Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. The reason that somebody's gonna be like, why the fuck would that be the main event? The reason why is we got to bring prestige to that main event. I would, if I did another match with the three of them, I would make it, and I don't think I've ever seen this, a triple threat Iron Man match for 60 minutes, three men.
Wow.
Like,
yeah, I've never seen that. Yeah.
I've never seen it before, but mm-hmm. those three would be the ones, because it would be a technical match where it's like, okay, like it's brute strength, and it's also like, okay, I can see like Gunther taking like a 5 or 10 minute break to let them wrestle while he's like sitting on, you know, on the edge of the ring, like acting like he's injured or something like that, mm-hmm. and vice versa. Like, so you're getting individual matches, but a triple threat, and it's also an Iron Man match. So, God, that would.
Yeah.
They need to hire me. So they need to hire me. But
yeah.
And so I'm sure somebody's gonna say, like, Greg, like, you would really want to see Gunther and Sheamus. I'm like, yeah. And the only reason I do is because like that match was the one match I was like, I know it's gonna be good, mm-hmm. and it impressed me good. Like it actually,
yeah.
That one, the Bianca match, like there was a third match I can't think of off the top of my head, but those two matches, I even said in the group, I was like, yo, like, mm-hmm. that happened? That yeah. was better than we all said it was going to be. And I want more of that. And nobody looked weak at the end of that match. Everybody can go about their day and say, you know what, we put on a good match and we can do it again. So that would be night one's main event, and somebody can be upset about it. You're like, dang, you really want to have the Intercontinental be the main event, and then you want to have the women tomorrow be, you know, the opener and the closer? You goddamn right.
Mm-hmm.
Because save the best matches for last. We watched the NCAA tournament. Nobody cares about the men's tournament. Women. And I think we're getting into that transition where it's like men are actually learning that, like, yo, women can do it just as good as men are. And mm-hmm. if WrestleMania wasn't like indicative enough, like that Bianca match proved to me that the women don't need 34 minute matches with a whole bunch yeah. of like fluff and stuff. Just a concise like 15, 17 minutes, yeah. you know, but the story tells itself.
Mm-hmm.
The story tells itself. And I would just really like to see a WrestleMania close with a woman. I would love that so much. I don't want a woman's only car. They tried that. It was fun. I want a WrestleMania where I'm like, okay, all the women that you said, the young women, the young girls, the little girls that you want to like build up, do that. When I look at the roster for WWE, they have more women than men that are capable of being a part of the title picture. Mm-hmm. I look at the men, I'm like, there's a lot of men just standing around doing fucking nothing. And you know what happens right now? Like, that's why a lot of the guys that we thought were going to be the guy are doing commentary right now. A lot of them. What is homeboy's name? He was like part of the Nexus and everything. Commentary.
Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett.
He said to himself this week, and he was like, yeah, my only WrestleMania moment was getting, like, you know, crushed. And I was like, oh, makes sense. Cool. They couldn't even remember if Booker T was still only the 5-time champion or if he had won more than 5. They couldn't remember that. So, yeah, I'm just a fan of knowing what I saw the previous year and applying it to the subsequent year. When I look at Austin from last year, how excited we were. We're never going to get that again. Austin's not coming back to do another match. Undertaker's not going to do a retirement match with Bray. It's not going to happen. When he whispered in his ear, I'm pretty sure he told Bray, he was like, hey, don't stay here long. Shit's changed. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. But ultimately, that would be the card that I would have done for both Friday and Saturday. I'm sorry, for Saturday and Sunday night.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame, I said that should have been Thursday. I've already talked about that. Friday, I would love them to do a Raw send-off and a SmackDown send-off where they use their full roster. I didn't watch the entire SmackDown, but when you told me, oh, everybody's out of the locker room, I was like, why?
Mm-hmm. For the Andre the Giant Memorial, Battle Royal, It's like they just emptied the whole locker room for it.
Yeah. They're like, hey, we need all y'all. Just go out there for like 7 minutes. Like, it's not going to be that long. Like, just jump over the rope if you need to. But the thing is, a lot of them we're not going to see anymore. So, overall, again, the grades that I got from this, Cassidy, was we gave night one a B+, and we gave night two a, I think it was an average of a C+. So we'll just go around that ballpark figure.
Yep.
But when you look at the card from, like, how I, like, matched it up compared to what it was, a lot of the shit that happened, the women's match, most, like, the good women's matches were night two.
Mm-hmm.
The men's matches that were night two, they were good. They weren't great. They were like, all right, the only way you're going to really remember this match is if you actually care. And when I say, like, that's your fave or you've been following them. Like, Roman, you already know I'm not really too fond, not of him. The title run is great, but it's not something that when people look at this in 5 years, you're like, did he deserve it, though? Or was this forced on us? It's not going to be like, yo, like, he's put on good matches. When we talked last episode, you know, of Sports Dusk, I was like, what was the best title reign? And I had to sit on this and I, like, put it on Stereo. Shout out to Stereo. I was like, who had the better title reign between, you know, Cena's 15, Ric Flair's 16, or Roman's, like, you know, title reign of over 900 days? Ultimately, I said, like, yo, his title reign matters now, but that's, like, recency bias for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's beat a lot of legends that will be in the Hall of Fame, but he also fought them multiple times. A lot of, like, Ric Flair stuff, a lot of Cena stuff, like, yeah, he's fought these legends. He's fought Orton, he's fought Triple H, he's fought all of them, and he may have fought them one, you know, once or twice, but there was always different stipulations. You know, U.S. title on the line, no title on the line, world title on the line, or something like that. Roman's is like, okay, same title. And that for that reason, it's like, it's now become a watered-down title, and it's not his fault, which I can't ever blame him for honestly just being good at what he's good at. And he's been carrying the torch so long that it's starting to, like, that flame is starting to, like, lose his wick. And I don't want to, like, jump ahead into, like, Monday and stuff like that. So what I'll save is my commentary on that. But if you wanted to talk about anything else, like, you know, go for it. Because, boy, when I unload, I will. And it's going to be on Vincent Kennedy. But I'll leave it alone for a minute.
Yeah, I think that was both nights, pretty much in a nutshell. I think the thing to talk we were to talk about next is, of course, the next important night after Mania is the Monday Night Raw after Mania. And I didn't know if we should save that for Monday's show or not, because there was a lot that went on that Monday. Of course, the sale that we were anticipating for the past year and a half finally went through. Endeavor purchased WWE. I can't remember the $1 billion amount exactly, but now Endeavor now owns WWE. And of course, they also own the UFC as well. Vince McMahon has also managed to get his way back in. First, you know, bring himself back as executive chairman, but rumor has it he's back to his old responsibilities, which include creative.
Disgusting.
I mean, it's just amazing to see the difference in morale from, say, during Mania. I would say SmackDown. I would say watching them on SmackDown and then watching everybody on Monday Night Raw, it was such a day and night in terms of morale. Like, Matt Riddle came back. There was a match that had entertainment promise with Brock Lesnar teaming up with Cody Rhodes to face Roman and Solo Sikoa. I thought that would have been entertaining, but they threw us the biggest confusing curveball I've ever seen. Like, honestly, it has Vince written all over it. I'm sorry. It really does.
Yep.
I didn't understand it at all. Like, and I'm guessing that means that Cody and Brock is going to feud with Brock for a while, but for what?
Disgusting.
Disgusting. I mean, for what? You know?
It's like it does nobody any service. Nobody. Right. Like, unless you just want to say, you know what? You know who he, like, feuded with? Everybody. Including Cody. But, yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off. It just feels like Vince had to insert himself in fucking Cody. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but it's like, think about all the people that they're like, you know what? They came back to WWE and they got fucked for at least 6 months before he finally believed in them. Excuse me. Or he's like, you know what we're going to do? We'll bring you back, but we got to bury you a little bit before we do anything else with you. And it's like, what the fuck for? Like, I came back. Like, I came back home. Yeah, you came back home, but you got to learn your lesson first, because you went and created something else without us, and it's still WWE. Yes. And that's some shit that Vince does, and I can't condone it, man. Like, the fact that your own daughter left, like, she literally just said, you know what, nah, I'm good, I can't do this. Now, that says something, because fucking Shane also said he would never come back. So I would love to see the love story about that shit, because he said he wasn't going to come back. So I'm assuming Triple H got him to come back, and then this whole situation happened with his father. I don't think he knew that about the sale, anything like that. I truthfully do not think he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I say that is because the way that he came back, I understand the injury and stuff like that. He's been radio silent about everything else. He hasn't even talked about the injury. Which leads me to believe it's like, oh, he came back off of good stuff. Like, oh, my father, you know, I understand he's back around and stuff. But guess what? I don't have to deal with him because he's not a part of creative. He's doing his own thing. Come to find out, your father's fucking everybody, literally. Mm-hmm. Women literally. He shouldn't be attached to. Like, I don't know anymore.
Again,
as a fan of wrestling, I keep saying this stuff, and I hate to be that guy, but it's just me. I just want Vince McMahon to get away from some shit that he doesn't have a lens for anymore. Mm-hmm. He honestly doesn't. I never thought that I would call a Raw after Mania a 2 out of 10. Never fucking thought I would say that shit. I never thought I would be in a situation where when I look at him, not even the brand, I'm like, I already know he's a bad guy. And we don't really like rock with Vince. I get that. The issue is he's ruined the brand so much that people are just deciding they're publicly no longer fans. I never thought I would see it. People have campaigned for it's still WWE, and we should just, like, you know, how you just gonna turn your back on WWE? And people aren't going anywhere else. They're like, hey, look, man, like, I just can't rock with WWE anymore, but I'm not going to AEW. I'm not going to Impact. I just don't fuck with WWE right now.
Yeah.
So it's sad, for real.
Yeah, and one thing I definitely said in the group chat is I'm glad I have other wrestling promotions I can follow, because you just see, I don't want to say it may go back to the way it was, but it may go back to the way it was. And like I said, morale is already taking a hit, you can tell. So, and of course, it was reported that AEW Dynamite actually had higher numbers than Monday Night Raw. So, I mean, and I said this in a group chat too, WWE can, you know, play the games like they're, yes, they are WWE. They'll always be the pinnacle, right? But if you think you have no competition, you are sadly mistaken. I think with my gripes with TK, he's still putting on the show. They're taking it international now. Forbidden Door is going to be in Toronto. All Out is going to be in Wembley Stadium. Like, I mean, he's playing hardball, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are typical cities that WWE normally, you know, have a hold of. So, you know, they got some competition, so.
Yep.
Yeah. So needless to say, I'm glad I didn't spend the money to go to Mania this year. I know I didn't prepare for it, but I'm glad I didn't go.
Yeah, I agree. But it makes it so hard, because it's like, I know we both have already been playing for Philly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can comfortably say they have 6 months to convince me why Philly would be a good investment.
That's right.
When I say 6 months, from Sunday, they have 6 months. Right now, shit looking real shaky. And as close as, you know, Philly is to the both of us, and as affordable, when I say affordable, like, we have options with Philly. Like, I can either say, you know what? We can just fucking drive up to Philly on, you know, and go to the event and just fucking stay in Baltimore. It's 2 hours away. Or, you know, stay in Jersey or something like that. There are options there. But ultimately, it is up to Vince and Triple H. Because if they don't do right, I'm telling you, I will save my money. I'll go to Jamaica before I go to WrestleMania. I promise you I will.
Yeah.
There's nothing that they have done in the past. What, today's Thursday, officially? There's nothing they've done that has instilled in me that they actually care about their audience. I'm sure Triple H does, and, you know, I don't want to give him a bad award, but I'm definitely going to give him one Monday, because I'm going to think about why he deserves this award. But to allow somebody who is, what, 76 years old and feels as though they still got it, instead of just saying you don't have it, I understand you're the son-in-law. Your father-in-law don't have it, bro. He's not the guy. He's not what you think he is. He's worse. He would probably fire you right now if you were you in 20 fucking 20. If you weren't, damn, you know what? I'll save that for Monday. Actually, no, I won't. And I'm going to say it again on Monday. If you weren't fucking his daughter, he would automatically fire you. Because you're his type, body-wise, because he sees a lot of himself in Triple H. Of what he would want to look like, his aesthetic. And I'm sure there's other reasons for it. I'm just projecting here. But ultimately, I can't stand watching WWE for what I've seen in the last 2-3 years. Occasionally, the pay-per-views are good, But from everything you've said, everything that Pam has said, when we talk about these cars and stuff, I'm like, why do I keep holding out hope? So now that I can, like, and a part of that takes, like, a little bit of convincing for me, but seeing other people say, you know what? Yeah, this shit ain't good. Like, I've never seen people just shit on Raw. Like, again, we'll talk about that on Monday night, but I've never comfortably seen so many people just say how much they hated something. And then, you know, there's the trolls who are like, well, if you hate it, don't watch. It's like, no, there's a version. There's two different versions. There's the person that just hates just to hate. And there's a person that hates because they're critiquing something that they watch every fucking week. You don't hate stuff just to hate it. You hate it because it's not what it's not. It doesn't make sense. It tangibly does not make any fucking sense. So
yeah, and also critiquing it because you've gone to several Manias and you've gone to the Monday Raw after Mania, so you know how good they've been in the past. So for this one to be so bad, like it was crazy. It's almost like this. It's almost like the sale just totally overshadowed it. And like I said, I think with Vince McMahon making his way back, it really killed the buzz. Like, you could tell he was back.
All of it.
Like, you know, look at how the shows were after he left, after he stepped down. And I think the first test of that was SummerSlam. It's like it seemed a lot lighter. You could tell it wasn't, the morale was higher, and it came through in the show. Seeing Monday Night Raw with him back, it's a total difference. And I know it was his company. I know it was one he bought from his father. I totally get it. Totally get it. And he wanted to be there for the sale. Totally get it. But at some point, you got to understand, you get ready to run your own company into the ground. You really are. Once again, you know, when even as a spectator sitting at home can tell when you're there versus when you're not, that's not good.
That's not good at all. And the thing is, nobody just says what it is. What is happening, instead of people saying shit, they're doing it with actions. We're not living in a day where people are just like, hey, Vince is the big check, so we're just going to stick around. People are like, you know what? There's other money. I'm just be out. Or they're like, you know, I'd just rather be happy at doing what I do. Like, I'll take less to be happy. We do that in our everyday lives. People are like, hey, I'll take less money in order to just have, like, peace of mind. You know, there was an article I read, and I know this is still Black techies, but there was an article where they were like, oh, a lot of people are going to other tech companies that make less or pay them less just for sanity or the ability to work from home. So just imagine wrestling. That's why when, you know, you had told me that, oh, everybody's here at SmackDown for the Andre the Giant thing. And I thought about it. I was like, oh, that's a vacation for them because they ain't got to do shit. One night out of the entire year, you start seeing people you ain't seen since fucking August of last year. If that, I don't even know if Jinder Mahal still fucking is with the WWE. I don't. I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, he is. He's been with NXT, but he's still there. Yeah,
exactly. Imagine it. WWE champion back on NXT.
Yeah.
I remember when Mustafa Ali, like, I'm jumping into some shit I want to talk about on Monday, but I'm probably not going to remember. But Mustafa Ali did Monday night. He's going to be on the roster cuts. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
I can fucking get. He's going to be like Fandango for me. When I was like, yo, Fandango, he got the audience. And they were like, hey, nah. He gone. Emma, gone. Like, if I can make early predictions, because I'm telling you, next Monday, around like 12, they're gonna be like, okay, these are people got cut. Emma, fucking Mustafa Ali. I'm trying to think of some
less big names. He actually tried to ask for his release under Vince and they refused to release him. So
because they thought they could figure out something. Do you remember that what was the group? It was like a faction of like 7-8 people. And he was, wasn't he like a ringleader or some shit? And
he was, and
like, nobody could figure out what the, nobody could figure out, like, what was the point of this shit? Like, they would come in and they would just beat up on just, like, not even the openers, like, just random ass people. It was never main stars. So it's like, okay, like, does this matter though? Like, y'all are going in, y'all coming into the ring, and y'all all had these black masks on. And then when we found out Mustafa Ali was the ring leader, we're like, oh, so he's going to get a push. No, he was just a filler. And that's Vince's thing. When I look at the history of Vince, shit that he's done, that the same thing that Mustafa Ali was doing as the leader for that, I think about Fandango. I think about the Funkadactyls, all that shit. I'm like, oh, that's Vince's thing. It's almost like Vince watched cartoons and was like, how can I apply this to our wrestlers? So, not at all for me.
Yeah.
Fucking Mustafa Ali. First.
But yeah, outside of that, I think that was Mania pretty much in a nutshell. I think to talk about all the other wrestling, that would be like a bunch of separate other shows. But of course, the main thing we talked about: Mania, the SmackDown, the Hall of Fames, the Raw after Mania. I think that's pretty much it. Of course, the Cell. Anything else you want to touch on before we head out?
Monday, be here for the sports desk. I swear, please, yes. Please, because
yes.
Adding Lou's takes, hopefully my cough is gone. Again, apologies for the audio, but I can almost guarantee there's going to be more shit that happens. But I want to wait until tomorrow night on SmackDown to see what happens. Because we'll fully know if Vince has everybody in pocket tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if he does, I'm coming out guns blazing. I am. I'm going to be fucking Clint Eastwood on Monday night. So, yeah, y'all better be ready. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yep, and then of course that'll be the next Monday Night Raw after this past Monday night. So Friday and Monday are those are the ones to watch. So, and I do want to say that this coming Saturday, New Japan has a pretty big event on Sakura Genesis. Mercedes Moné is putting her title on the line versus ACM. And forgive me, I can't remember the other competitor's name, but they're from Stardom. So definitely check that one out. Also, New Japan Cup winner Sonata is challenging Okada for his IWGP World Championship. That's going to be a huge title match also. So stay tuned to New Japan on Saturday. Don't want to miss that. But outside of that, we'll go into that all of that on Monday as well. But definitely check that out.
Absolutely.
Great show.
Yes.
We got our recaps out. Yeah. Anything else before we cut out?
No, nothing for me. I'm waiting for tomorrow night. I really want to see what they do, because I think they're going to actually kind of redeem themselves. And that's just my high hope and expectation. But again, Monday night we will know. You'll tell by my anger. So I've let most of my like stuff be really passive tonight. But on a high note, on a positive note, I just have to say this: I was really, really impressed with Saturday night. I just want to like emphasize how great of an overall wrestling package happened on Saturday night. Which made me believe, like, Triple H had his hand on Saturday, Vince had his hand on Sunday. And you can see that there was a distinct difference between the two. And I want more of Saturday night matches. I really, really do. I hope that we end up getting more Bray. I hope we get more Bobby. But I just want to see how this stuff shakes out with this contract thing. And my final thought is just this. Meaning me and anybody who comes over to my house to watch wrestling, we're bootlegging any WWE event that is over the price of $9.99. I'm just letting it be known. I'm not paying $70 for a pay-per-view ever. So they need to figure that out. UFC charges roughly $69.99 per card. But their cards will last from 6 p.m. until midnight. WWE.
Wow.
8 o'clock to like 11, 7 until 11, mm-hmm. which is around the same time, but less entertaining. No, more filler. Nobody, mm-hmm. and I don't want to touch on a merger too much, but no one in their right mind that used to pay $9.99 for WWE Network, mm-hmm. or however much you're paying. People are paying for free. Some people aren't, I'm sorry, not paying for free, but some people are not even paying for Peacock because they get it with their streaming services or like their home, mm-hmm. like phone or something. You would be insane to pay anything over the price of $9.99. So I guess that's a question that we can leave for Monday. Is this merger going to be lucrative for WWE, or did Vince get over on somebody else once again? That being said, mm-hmm. I'm done. Yeah. On Monday, I'm unloading the clip. I'm just letting mm-hmm. y'all know.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, everyone that tuned in. Stay tuned for Monday night. It's going to be a really good one, but thank you for checking us out. This is Black Techies, Mania Recap. See y'all Monday. Peace and love, y'all.
Peace, y'all.
Hey, do you have the Wi-Fi password? Common words everyone has said in an airport, coffee shop, or any public place with free internet. Don't fall victim to internet hackers while using free internet thanks to NordVPN. NordVPN is one of those services you tell yourself you don't need until it's too late. We've used the NordVPN to browse the web, check bank accounts, and even stream apps like Netflix. It's the only VPN service that lets you bypass ISPs, perfect for when your job has sites you frequent like Facebook is blocked. It's the best VPN service you can get for both price and performance. Install NordVPN on up to 6 devices, including your smartphone, tablet, and desktop, and experience the service for yourself. Start protecting yourself and your content with NordVPN by heading over to nordvpn.com/YBAB at checkout and save 75% on your subscription.